kings of disaster. Let him in constancy follow the master.
I lie down before you and cradled in the love of Jesus, I'll find security.
I'd like to continue on what we were talking about on Sunday. And you remember we were talking about interpreting God's shaking. And we were taking this from Hebrews 12 and verses 25 to 29. Well, I feel impressed from the Lord to continue with another teaching on this. So it's really taking up from last time, and there was much to think about and to go over and to seek God on. But I still believe that there is more that he wants to share with us with this. And if you remember, in Hebrews 12, from verse 25 onwards, the word says, "See that you do not refuse him who speaks. For if they did not escape who refused him who spoke on earth, much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him who speaks from heaven." So just in passing with that verse there, he's showing the emphasis of how much more it is important when God now speaks from heaven, meaning that he's baptized us in the power of the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is revealing and teaching us. So he's showing us the responsibility. And he says, "Whose voice then shook the earth, but now he has promised, saying, yet once more I shall shake not only the earth, but also the heavens." And so we shared last time how that God, under Moses' ministry, when God met with Moses on Mount Sinai, how the people feared and the presence of God came, and they trembled under it and so on. And so God shows again he's going to meet. God's presence is going to come back to the earth. And he says, "Yet once more I shake not only the earth, but also the heavens." And the heavens also, because the scriptures tell us even the heavens are not clean in his sight. Now this "yet once more" indicates the removal of those things that are being shaken. So unlike the first shaking in the Old Testament under Moses, we now see that this shaking is a removal of those things that are being shaken, as of things that are made, and the things which cannot be shaken may remain. So he says the things that are made, what man has attempted to make independent of God, he says he will shake it in order to break it down, to remove it, that the things which cannot be shaken may remain. And of course, we know that the word of God, the saint that stands firm upon the word, upon the rock of Jesus Christ, will stand in these last days. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire. So this kingdom that we seek now by faith, that we put first each day, this kingdom cannot be removed. This kingdom cannot be shaken. And all kingdoms will be removed, but this one will not. And it's that which we seek and we put first and we believe in. So that is clearly revealing to us what Hebrews 12, 25 to 29 is telling us about. Now, I can't go over all that I shared last time, but remember just in passing that we opened up to show you that we are moving and maturing into the fullness of God Himself, and God is going to use this shaking in which to perfect us, to mature us, and to cause us to be birthed when Christ comes for the overcomer. So He's going to use this shaking for everything and also for the saints. So this shaking is redemptive in nature, and we mustn't forget this. And God, we have seen, has implanted into our hearts this call to overcome now, to be the first fruits of this last day. He's applying the principles and teachings of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus' teachings Himself, and just taking us into that deeper consecration with Him. And He's using the trials and the tests and our faith in which, of course, to mature and perfect us in these last days. And I spoke much more, of course, with regard to this shaking, but we need to understand why this has happened. And God began to reveal to us how important it is for us to be able to interpret this shaking. This is very important, because if we do not understand what this shaking is about, we will be deceived. We will be open to confusion and fear, just like the world out there that is trying to interpret now this shaking, because it's very aware that things are not what they were. Things have changed. Governments are confused, and it just goes on and on. But the shaking that started, and this shaking, as I revealed last time, is globally. It is in nature to purify. And we're dealing here with the sovereignty of God. Verse 29 tells us, "For our God is a consuming fire." So He is coming as fire in this shaking, and it's going to intensify. This shaking, I believe, will bring forth the shaking and the judgments that will fall that we see in the book of Revelation. The opening of the seals and the vials. It's all moving toward the great event of Armageddon, when Christ puts down His enemies. It's going to increase, because we are dealing with the sovereignty of God. And it's very clear He is coming as a consuming fire. Now, we know this because if you read in Deuteronomy 4:24, He says that our God is a consuming fire, and He is a jealous God. He is jealous for His glory. He is jealous for His standard, His word, His family, the saints that He's redeemed. And He's now going to redeem and reap His family. That is on the Father's heart. Let's just remind ourselves also again what we saw last time in the book of Exodus. Exodus 24. And verse 16, Exodus 24 and verse 16. "Now the glory of the Lord rested on Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it 6 days. And on the seventh day, He called to Moses out of the midst of the cloud. And the sight of the glory of the Lord was like a consuming fire on the top of the mountain in the eyes of the children of Israel. And so Moses went in the midst of the cloud and went up into the mountain. And Moses was on the mountain 40 days and 40 nights. There's a type of rapture. We're told that the church, we will meet the Lord in the clouds. And here is a similar sight. Notice that they see this before them like a consuming fire. And notice that Moses goes into this cloud, but he doesn't burn up, even though it looks like a consuming fire. And it says Moses went into the midst of the cloud and went up into the mountain. And he was there 40 days and 40 nights, but he didn't burn up by the presence of the Lord. Why? Because he is redeemed. The blood of the Lamb works on his behalf. And so we get here another indication that this shaking, and God is going to shake and shake and shake, it's not going to stop. But we are not going to be consumed by this. We're not going to be affected by this. The same as Moses was not affected going into the presence of Almighty God. He's a type of first fruit, an overcomer. The same God preserving, protecting, speaking to him is the same God we serve today. So we take comfort from this, brothers and sisters, that it will not burn us up. Hallelujah. You see, we're living in an age of such spiritual ignorance now. And this is why people do not understand. They know that something is up. They know there is a shaking going on, but they can't interpret it. They can't understand why there is such a global upheaval and everything appearing to change and breaking up, but they don't have that spiritual insight and understanding. But God wants us to understand, to discern, to be able to understand what is happening now as God is shaking the heavens and the earth as we are looking at. It's very important for us to understand and to be able to interpret and discern this, because this is part of our making ourselves ready. This shaking is also that God will get us ready, that he's dealing with our faith, our consecration, our belief in the word of God and the promises of God's word. So can you not see that this shaking is redemptive in nature? Whatever God does in judging is always redemptive in nature, that a remnant may be saved, that a remnant may bow the knee and acknowledge, you see. This was what God was always trying to do with the children of Israel. And even when Israel is falling into apostasy under the judges, God is using these shakings in a redemptive way to get man's attention. That you cannot go on this way. You cannot live like this. You can't live independently of God. And so he's using this last day shaking, which is not going to stop. He's going to shake and shake the heavens and the earth until everything that is not built upon him, that is not standing upon him, believing upon him, will fall. That is the nature of this. Let God be God. He knows what he's doing. This is why we believe so much we are in the last days now. And it is awesome what we are moving toward. You know, there is such spiritual ignorance on the earth now. We have all, as I've said so many times, we have our technology, we have our universities, our schools, you name it. And yet, man is so spiritually blinded by all of this. And of course, he will interpret this global shaking in all manners that he does. And we'll look at this later on. You see, what does it really mean? Well, there is nothing new to discerning what God is trying to say and trying to do. This spiritual ignorance has always been since the fall of Adam and Eve. And this is why, unless God touches our lives and calls us from the foundation of the world, we will remain in that spiritual ignorance. We know this because they couldn't even discern when Messiah came. Israel was in such a state, having been without a prophet speaking for some 400 years, couldn't discern, couldn't test when Messiah came. They were so blinded. The same as this blindness today. We were talking about this a few weeks ago. But what does it say in passing again in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 3 and 4? 2 Corinthians 4 and verses 3 and 4. But even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. So in this shaking that's happening, that started, God in his mercy, and as I said, it's redemptive in nature, there is a remnant where God will shine on them, and their eyes and their ears will be opened. So there is the mercy of God, but they are perishing, those who do not see, because they are blinded by the God of this world. And so they will try to interpret, they will try to understand these things that are going on. We also see in Revelation chapter 3 and verse 17, Revelation 3 and verse 17, again speaking of this blindness. It says, because you say, I am rich and have become wealthy and have need of nothing, and do you not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, naked? That's what he's saying to the church of Laodicea that thinks it's got it all. It's doing well. Big congregation, wealthy and so on. Many, many churches are like that. And God says, you're blind, miserable, naked. You don't see. And so the warning today now is that we may see, that God, that we buy that eye self, that we may see, that we may discern, we may understand this shaking that is going on, because many are and will interpret this in a wrong way. And our discernment can only come as we get into the Word of God, into the Scriptures, and as we wait upon the Lord, as he reveals to us what he wants us to know. What we don't realize is that we are approaching very fast to the fullness of the Gentiles. And we're not far from that. when the last Gentile will be saved and God will then turn back to his ancient people, the Jews. And we're moving rapidly towards that. We know that because Romans 11 and verse 25 tells us this. We're talking about today interpreting God's shaking. We have to spiritually see these things. This is why I keep saying flesh and blood cannot reveal this. It has to come by the Spirit. And what does he say in Romans 11 and verse 25? For I do not desire, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own opinion, that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in, and so all Israel will be saved, as it is written. So he's on about, don't have your own opinions. Don't have your own theories about this shaking. Well, it could be this, or it could be that, or it could be global warming, or whatever it is. We're not to do this, because it's a sign of ignorance. These are mysteries that God will reveal and give to us at the right time. And obviously we're talking and discussing about God is shaking. We need to interpret this. Now is the right time. He wishes to speak to us, to be able to understand. And so this shaking is going to go on and on, which will include until the fullness of the Gentiles is come, till every Gentile is saved, and God then will turn to Israel. Now, I want to say in passing that the Antichrist, who is to come and will come shortly, will use this shaking to bring in a false peace and security. And God will permit it, allow it to happen, which is all part of the shaking. Because everything in this shaking is being revealed. This shaking, as I said last time, is to expose the powers of darkness. This shaking has caused the devil to now start to bring in this new world order, which he wants to rule and reign, which he has been planning and working since the fall of man. So because of the shaking, he has to move like he does and doing what he does, because he still wants to hide. He still wants to camouflage himself. But he won't be able to do it, because the shaking and the shaking and the shaking will finally expose him. And the world will see that they have been duped, they have been deceived by him. So in this shaking that's going on, what are the symptoms that we have with regard to this shaking? Well, 2 Peter has something to say about this. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 3. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 3. Knowing this first, that scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. For this they willfully forget, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, by which the world that then existed perished, being flooded with water. But the heavens and the earth, which are now preserved by the same word, are reserved for fire until the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. So there we are. God is revealing, nothing changes, it's all been preserved, even in the shaking, and at the end of the millennium, where the enemy is released for a season, then God says, that is it, I'm finished. And he burns it all up with fire, like a scroll that is rolled up. This is all part of interpreting God's shaking and what it leads to. And sadly, today, man doesn't discern his left hand to his right hand because he is so spiritually blinded. You see, much of the church today has become like the world, as we know. And this is why she will receive the Antichrist, because they can't really discern this shaking. There is confusion amongst Christendom because they still depend and rely upon the arm of the flesh, and so they will become victims to the Antichrist when he comes. They will think, oh gosh, at last a lot of this shaking has finished. We've got someone now that's bringing some balance to politics and someone with common sense and so on. That's what the world is looking for. It's looking for right leaders. I've been listening on the radio just recently now with us electing a new prime minister. We've got two that are debating. And the way they're discerning these two people and trying to understand which one will be the best prime minister, it's sad. It's pathetic. They cannot discern. They're trying to discern through this shaking and exposing. They're using all their logic and their technique and psychology and so on, hoping that they're going to get that right leader to stop this shaking. The world's gone mad. It's crazy. How many do you hear people say that? But you know, shaking exposes darkness. And that is the aim behind all of this. And that's why God is now doing this. Because as I said last time, this shaking exposes false teachers. And we have so many of those amongst Christendom who are not preaching this word as they should be, who are not encouraging saints to walk by faith and to trust in the promises of God's word. We see such hypocrisy nowadays. We see hypocrisy everywhere. We see it not only in the church and amongst professing Christians. We see it amongst government, politicians, people. We have it in our own families and so on. Why is hypocrisy now being exposed? Because God is shaking. He's shaking those who live a double standard life. And that's why God is working with us like he is, because he's not going to have us to be hypocrites. And at times we are. We have to be just honest. But this shaking is our deliverance. This shaking is to get us to trust and stand upon the promises of God's word. This shaking is to open our eyes that this world doesn't offer what you think it offers. I could just go on what this shaking is doing in delivering us, delivering me. And we're going to praise and thank God in his mercy and grace, because as I said at the beginning, it's redemptive in nature. And this shaking is that a remnant will be saved. So you can confidently say, this shaking is that I will be saved, that I will be a part of God's remnant. And I won't be burnt up by this. That's why I showed you Moses, who went into the presence of God on Sinai. The people saw it as a consuming fire, but not Moses. Moses went into the smoke, into the cloud, and he had a wonderful time in God's presence for 40 days, 40 nights. It was supernatural. And that's what God is going to do with us and is doing with us. That is why we come under the presence of the Lord. Where the presence of the Lord is, there's liberty, which means healing, deliverance, salvation. This shaking is to throw us completely on him, because his word is going to cause us to survive in these last days. It's our spiritual food. It will sustain us and keep us. When the world is grappling and looking around for answers and so on, because that's what it's doing. Fear increasing, confusion increasing, and so on. That's why the flesh, we're not to walk in the flesh, but in the spirit, Romans 8 tells us. Because the flesh will respond to this shaking. It won't understand it, but if you are in the spirit, you will. Because you will see what it's doing. But you see, those that are in the flesh, and sadly even professing Christians, it's the intellect of man is trying to interpret this shaking. How do we know he's trying to interpret this shaking? Well, we hear it. We hear it through the EU. We hear it on the news. We're hearing it at the moment. Oh, it's all coming up again about climate change because we've had some hot weather. All starting to come out. And it's interesting when you look at what's coming out. They're following an agenda. Somebody has given them orders, because as much what they say is all exactly the same. Where do they get it from? We know where they get it from. The elite, those that are in control. And those that control this, those that speak out in it, they fly in their private planes. What hypocrisy. I could just go on and on and on with this sort of thing, but we don't get into that type of thing. That's the whole point. But I just say these things in pass, because we're seeing everything changing now. They want to get rid of everything. They want to break it all down and bring in and usher in the new. This shaking is exposing sickness, oppression, mental issues, you just name it. Diseases. It's exposing overpopulation. Not enough food to feed the world. All these shortages. Exposing the wars. exposing the problems in families, break up in marriages, violence. It just goes on and on the list. Because God is shaking. He's revealing man cannot live without God in their lives. So the enemy is working overtime at the moment. And we're not to believe these things. We're not to fall for it, that we're overpopulated or the world can't feed or whatever it is. What did God say right at the beginning? Go forth and multiply. Did God make a mistake in his words? Not at all, because he is on the throne. God will provide. God will put food on our table and so on. But man thinks he's God and he's going to control all of this. And he wants to try and control the food. He wants to try and control population. And it just goes on and on. And of course, he's going to try and use technology now in which to try and do this. And eventually, the mark of the beast, where he's finally got man where he wants him. Because the mark of the beast is all part of man bowing down and worshipping Antichrist, the very devil himself. So you can see what this shaking is doing, brothers and sisters. God knows these things, and so God is going to shake, because it's the only way. If there was any other way, God would do it, but he knows. This is the wisdom and mind of God in which to shake the heavens and the earth to expose evil, corruption, the mystery of iniquity. And remember, this was all started to be introduced through Nimrod. I believe it's quite possible that Nimrod was a giant. And he introduced things that man should not have known or understood. Things of the occult, witchcraft, devilish things. And of course, man has built upon it ever since. And so God says to expose this and judge this and bring it down, I will shake the heavens and the earth. And this shaking will bring these wars and the final war of Armageddon. This shaking will lead toward that when Christ comes to rule and reign upon the earth. Then he will bring peace. He will bring order. He will be fair. He will judge mercifully, but he's going to be firm. The scriptures are very clear that he's coming with a rod of iron. He has to correct, and he will be firm with the remnant that is left that goes through to populate again. And it will take 1,000 years in which to bring man's mind and spirit and heart back to an understanding and worshipping of God. Man has become so defiled, so corrupt, that it's going to take 1,000 years in which to work in the soul and heart of man. Can you believe that? Look at what the enemy has been doing over all these centuries, how far removed we are from the standard of Almighty God. But praise God, he's on the throne. So we begin to see now why this shaking has started and will continue to. And I want us to end again with something that our Lord said in Matthew 24. And of course, in that chapter, he speaks very clearly of the last days, of the great tribulation and his coming and so on. If you've not read it for a while, read that chapter again. But in Matthew 24, verses 12 to 14, here it says quite clearly, "And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. But he who endures to the end shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come." So he's saying the lawless one, it will become lawless. The love of many is growing cold. Why is that all happening? Because God is exposing it, the shaking. "But he who endures to the end shall be saved." That's what we're doing. We're staying with it, standing by the grace and mercy of God. And all the redeemed in Christ do exactly the same, even those that will be left to go through the great tribulation. And he says, "This gospel of the kingdom will be preached to all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come." So this shaking is finally for the purpose that God's word, the preaching of this word, will go to the four corners of the earth. It will go to all nations. And the only way it can go in power is to shake. So we see so much what is behind God allowing and permitting this shaking, so that the gospel will go forth to all nations. Why? Because there is a remnant to reap. And that is the nature of this shaking, that man will be redeemed. Every last saint, every last soul, the last Gentile will be saved and brought in because God is shaking the heavens and the earth. Heavenly Father, thank you again for your word. Thank you for explaining, revealing to us what is happening, what is going on. Lord, we desire very much to be able to share, as the Spirit leads, to interpret what people are now asking and questioning and what they're seeing. Why? Because you said that the word, the gospel, will go forth to all nations. Father, your ways are not our ways and your thoughts are not our thoughts. We are so aware of this. But this is why we walk by faith and not by sight. I thank you for these series, these teachings, Lord, and I pray that they will go forth and will be a help and comfort, teaching and instruction to all those who hear it. For this we ask now in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Let him in constancy follow.